Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Penny, who is here to speak with us about her experience of participating in the Conscious Compassionate Action group coaching. Welcome, Penny.
Hi, Jen.
Hey. So, yeah, it's been really, really, I think ever since Sherry started talking about that concept and sort of the climate that we're all in currently, it's sparked a chord with a lot of people. And so I know that people are really appreciating having that, the coaching sessions be a place where they can really explore some of what, you know, what does it mean to participate in the world with all that's going on right now, and to be have that be part of one's spiritual practice or be coming from spiritual practice. So we thought we'd have folks on to talk about their experience of that. So maybe you could tell us what that's been like for you.
Well, it's really helpful because in the last year or so, I've gotten quite involved in various political activities and groups. And, you know, in the frame of that, there's agreement and there's opposition, you know, and that's, and neither of those is particularly helpful. I mean, it's a duality. So you're living in this duality. And so to have a place where you can come and process what is actually happening, what is going on in you that you are projecting all over, is extremely helpful, because nothing in the sort of political realm, as far as I can tell, encourages that or really provides for that.
Yeah, well, even just that, for starters, just that it's a duality, because I think generally the way we're trained to see it is, so what I'm coming from is right, and what someone else is coming from is wrong. And it's not so much a duality as a what's wrong with them and what's right with me kind of a thing. And so to get to have a place where all of it gets to be looked at, and as you say, that process of bringing it back to what's going on with me, is it's a very rare thing to have that be in that arena.
It really is. And the thing that's really helpful about it, too, is because in practice, you know, there really is no evaluation or judgment, or it's possible to explore that. I mean, it's possible to explore all that stuff going on with me and the duality of it, and how I get locked into righteousness or and judgment and that kind of thing, without thinking that, well, then the only solution is either, you know, to go full bore into that dualistic kind of thinking, or to just withdraw completely. And I know Sherry's addressed that a part of the purpose, I think, of the whole approach to conscious compassionate awareness as a practice is that those two options are just another duality. So
that's right.
How to engage, but remain as clear as possible about what's going on with you and what you and where you're coming from, the heart, and when you're, you know, where you're coming just from opinions and righteousness. Sorting that out, having a forum where that's possible and be facilitated in that is really quite remarkable.
Well, and I, as you say that, I just imagine, and, you know, since one of the really special things I think about a group coaching situation is that then you're hearing all different kinds of people in the way that they're looking at it from their perspective.
Which in itself is not something that is fostered outside of that kind of setting. Really listening to people, really seeing where other people are coming from too, really almost nowhere, you know, politics aside, almost nowhere is that really fostered in the same way. So, yeah, having that group perspective and growing in that whole mind way is really quite extraordinary.
Aha, growing in that whole mind way. Can you say more about that?
Well, I always feel like when we're in group, any group setting in the practice, that that it's, you know, it's so often somebody will start speaking in group and then someone else will say something similar, and all of a sudden you have the sense that the group's kind of on a wavelength, you know, that there's literally a process happening among us, and each of us is a fragment of that, each of us is a little piece of that, and that what's we're all being invited into is a much larger place that that feels to me like whole mind, as opposed to the very partial little views that each of us has.
Yeah, which of course, I mean, gosh, we all know from our experience that that's going to be the only thing that's truly going to be able to serve all, is something that's coming from that whole mind perspective instead of that dualistic, I'm right,
yeah,
or you're right and I'm wrong, or
Yeah, and yes. And so the other thing that as you're reflecting that, is that it just launches us into an entirely different context than even a so-called large view, say, of everyday events or of political events or that kind of thing. It you know, as practice always does, it places us someplace else. And and that someplace else is the only place where there really is a chance of clarity, where we don't, where we're not still basically referencing ego as our our source of information.
Yeah, wow, that's well put. So it literally is another place that we can practice being, and that it's only in that place that clarity is available to us. And, you know, I'm so struck, Penny, as you're talking, that I just keep, it keeps dropping in that I'm projecting sort of a lack of fear onto that process. And it seems like so often, especially in the political arena, that so much is driven by fear, or seems to be. And so what a great gift to have a process where there is that, well, I don't know. I actually don't know. And so to just be willing to be present with it, and to not know and not need to know, and not have that I don't know be a threat, because if I don't know, then they're going to win, right?
Right.
But, yeah.
That's so, yeah, and that's really what practice always offers, is that place where we don't have to be afraid to explore whatever's going on, because there's nothing to defend. And in the political realm, everybody's defending. I was at a meeting one day, and you know, people were screaming into microphones and having side conversations and all this, and what arose for me was everybody in this room is afraid. And essentially, I projected everything that was coming out was everybody was afraid. Everybody was feeling, I think, like at the level of basic identity, like I'm under attack. And so to have a place where, first of all, that is not true, where you know that that is not true. You're not under attack. You're not. Yeah. There's no need to be afraid. Yeah. It's just extraordinary. And then that allows one to kind of reenter the fray from a different place. Mm.
Wow, gosh, I really saw in that when you were saying that, that it's no wonder people are afraid, because all that's happening in a room like that, very likely, is conditioning. And conditioning is scary. And it is to be on the, we know it inside of our own head, to be on the whatever receiving end of that hatred that we all are internally, and to watch that get turned externally, it's no wonder there's only fear. And so, and yet, and we know the opposite too. I mean, I know the experience of being around someone who, you know, I get it that they're, all that's coming from them is an acceptance. And there's such a relaxation that can happen with that. And I don't have to take a side, and I don't have to know, and I don't have to, and boy, to bring that possibility to, you know, especially something like the political arena, is such a revolutionary concept.
Yeah, and to experience it in the midst of that context, you know, to have have that. It's okay not to know. I really don't know. I'm just doing my best here.
Yep.
It's a very much more relaxing place to be.
Yeah.
And you know, right now the political arena just happens to be kind of hyper. It tends to be sort of pyrotechnic, and so actually the gift of that is that things are not subtle. You know, it's really easy to see things like the fear and the duality, and so it's an opportunity to see in kind of technicolor what we can sort of coast along with and not notice otherwise. So it's kind of, in some ways, it's a really great time, but it's a great time if we're supported.
Exactly. I was seeing exactly the same thing, that this is such a time, like this is such an opportunity, because that fear that's always there is unmasked. So yes. it's much easier to see it. And boy, that's another great point, that without the support, oh, it could just be misery. But with the support, it really does turn into that opportunity that it can be.
That's right. That's right. And I would say, you know, the conscious compassionate action has been a great tool, but all of practice does that for us all the time.
That's right. That's exactly right. Yep. Yeah, that's so true. I mean, we have a you know, an email class on this, or we do a group coaching on that, or we look through these particular lenses, but the process is always the same.
Yeah. Like right now, that with the Socratic email class, I'm exploring the same stuff because it's yet another opportunity, you know, to
I do know.
Just keep, you know, connecting with ground, the center.
Yeah. Yes.
Wisdom,
exactly.
Guidance.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, exactly. Yeah. It's so good. Great. Well, Penny, I see we're at the top of the hour. Anything else you wanted to add in before we end?
No, just that I'm very grateful.
Yep. Me too. Grateful that you were with us this afternoon.
Thank you.
Thanks, Penny. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Great. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Penny. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open It with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. How are you?
I'm great. I'm great. How are you?
Good. Excellent. I loved that conversation. You know, I started to say I don't really do book reviews or, you know, book recommendations, but then it dropped in that that's not true, and so there's really no sense in saying things that as soon as one knows it's not true, there's really no sense in pursuing that. But I love that conversation so much because of two books that I have been involved with lately. And if for anybody who has an interest in this kind of thing, I would highly recommend them. One is called My Religion by Leo Tolstoy. The other is called Thoreau, A Life. And the Leo Tolstoy is I don't know if you know, we think Leo Tolstoy, we think War and Peace, right? And the boy could go on in some of the most beautiful if you enjoy his writing, to me it's just some of the most beautiful stuff ever written. And with this, it's not. He definitely does not go on and on. It's just boom. It takes a person through how he came to be a Christian and what he realized in that journey. And it's to me, it's breathtaking. The second one, Thoreau, A Life, is long. It's very long. And so if a person doesn't, even if you're a fan of Thoreau, it moves along through, you know, what he had for breakfast most mornings of his life, that kind of thing. But toward the end of it, they are dealing with slavery. And they've just passed the law that makes it illegal.
Emancipation Proclamation?
The law that makes it illegal for any citizen of the United States not to capture and turn in every black person, basically, on the chance that they might be a slave who has escaped. So looking at the turmoil that the country was in through the eyes of these people who were right there in the midst of it, you know, making these just incredibly difficult, beyond difficult decisions, you know, life and death decisions. And what Penny was describing, or, you know, I'm taking off from that, but the, you know, seeing people so passionate on both sides of an issue. You know, just getting to a life and death place with it, and families torn apart because of it, and friendships lost.
Yes.
And, you know, that. So it's for the, an extra perspective on what this country is going through. And
you went away just for a second there, Sherry.
Oh gosh,
you went away a couple seconds.
I do that. Not periodically, I seem to do that.
Say that last
bit
again.
I'm not sure what I said, actually, but I would want to say is that these are two things that, to me, right now, speak exactly to what Penny was talking about. It's when we are in sometimes, you know, we're in terribly difficult personal times. You know, whatever
yes.
is going on in our own little circle, not to minimize
yes.
it, but I mean, it's really only me and
yeah.
the few very close to me. And then sometimes it feels like the entire world is in chaos. And
yes.
then how do we stay with the difference that we would like to make, the
yes.
way we want to be in any situation? So
yes.
if anybody's interested in that kind of thing, with Thoreau sort of cut to the last quarter of the book, and
yes.
there you'll pick up where he's really wrestling with what does it mean? What does it mean? Of course, the Revolutionary War was not that far away from his life. And what does it mean to fight for freedom only to enslave? And anyway.
Yes. Yes.
Good stuff.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it is.
Yes. Yes.
And if anybody, you know, if people with either one of them, if somebody, especially, I'm especially giving a little notice to the folks at the monastery that I would like us all to read My Religion, Tolstoy's My Religion, so that
mm-hmm.
we can talk about it, because it is, to me, one of the most powerful works on spirituality that I've ever encountered. So I'd like for others
wow.
to talk about it with me. You know how that is.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, I would have to
add
the Sherry Huber book to that list as well.
Say it again?
I'd have to add the Sherry Huber books to the list of most powerful spiritual books out there as well.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. I
yep.
I hope that they're coming from the same I hope that they are clearly coming from the same source.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
So
yes. Exactly.
If that is the case, then that whatever their contribution is, we can feel good about it.
Yes. Great.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right, I do have announcements here.
All right.
Ready to take a courageous dive into emotions you've never been allowed truly to examine?
Mm-hmm.
Then the When You're Falling Dive retreat, guided by Sherry and Ashwini in North Carolina, is for you. The retreat runs from April 9th through 14th and includes yoga, delicious vegetarian meals, and individual guidance with you, Sherry.
Mm-hmm.
Step away from the pressures of day-to-day living and immerse yourself in a monastic community completely focused on waking up. The Your Practice Retreat, April 28th through May 5th, at the Zen Monastery Peace Center near Murphy's, California, provides individualized support with what you choose as your practice focus for your stay. The retreat is a prerequisite for anyone considering being a first-time visiting monk.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're already meditating in the morning or wish to start, why not enjoy the extra boost of meditating with Sangha? Virtual meditation groups are a unique way to receive the support and connection of practicing with Sangha. These conference call meditation sessions include a 30-minute sit followed by reading. new group times have been added. A full schedule of virtual groups is available on the Virtual Meditation Groups webpage.
Just one way to realize we never have to sit alone.
Yes, never alone. And for these and other opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can make a show by pressing *6 and then 1. And focus on one topic, please, and about a 5-minute conversation would be great. Okay, Sherry, you ready?
I am. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, hi, Michael. This is Barbara from New York, and hi, Sherry. And
hey, Barbara.
Hey, I don't really have so much of a question as much as to express my gratitude and gratefulness. I was diagnosed with cancer the week of Thanksgiving, and I had like a serious surgery on my face that they basically, without getting too graphic, had to make a total flap and do a skin graft.
Had to make
whole
what,
bit.
Barbara?
A flap. It's called a flap. It's like, you know, they make an angle and they have to sew you up after they take out all that cancer. And I was so fortunate. And what really made the whole experience that much, how do I say this? With more insight instead of walking around with the bitterness and being angry and why me and all that stuff, was the opportunity that it gave me for practice and to have people to practice with. And so I didn't feel like I was really going through it all by my little lonesome self. And I could really see, like, how people are there for me and just how things fell into place. And so, like, I just have to express my gratitude, you know?
You were taken care of, weren't you?
Yes, I was.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh. That is so good.
I can, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I wanted to give one plug, if you don't mind me, which is that anyone who has any freckles and things like that, really go get them looked at by somebody. Don't play roulette with your skin. That's what I really wanted to listen. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm allowed to, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, that's good. That's a really good reminder. Because that's what happens to us when we're in the grip of those voices of egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate. So, you know, you look at something and you think, that doesn't look quite right, or you just have an intuition about something, and then voices say, oh, no, it's fine. Don't be ridiculous. You're just being dramatic. You don't need to.
Yeah.
And then it gets to a point of being really threatening, life-threatening. The voices very often, of course, will beat us up then for not having taken care of it sooner, or go down the road of why is this happening to you, and you don't deserve this, and nobody cares, and you're all, you know, all this crap that it does to us all along.
I was very fortunate. I had a little bit of it, but nothing severe. And I wanted to add that the mark that I had that was cancerous, I had gone to one of these laser places to get it removed, thinking that it's like, you know, sun discoloration, and they never told me that it was cancer. And this is a guy who's a surgeon and, you know, his physician assistant, and, you know, a lot of these places, they're really more into making money for aesthetics than they are in terms of taking care of your skin.
Wow. Well, that's a, that's a sobering insight, isn't it?
It really was. So nothing beats just getting good healthcare.
I'm very glad that this happened at Thanksgiving.
Yes.
And now here we are the first part of February, and you are clearly having a very good life experience.
Yes, and I want to also add, coaching helps so much. That really saved me, you know. And the classes, I did the compassionate one, the most recent one, really helped. And, of course, I'm looking forward to the Socratic one. And it's just all this stuff just coming in is what makes it also so beautiful. It's like, you know, in the old days, you go to a therapist, you drive an hour to get there, you plunk down a whole bunch of money, and you walk away with incredible amounts of self-hate. You know, and now it's none of that kind of self-hate, you know, and when it does surface, it's something to examine. It's not, you know, like, oh,
you have tools?
I have to go back again. Huh? Yes.
You have tools. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what to do. You know how to address it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it.
Right. It's great.
Well,
so I
got to
say, God bless you, really. Thank you so very much for everything. And for everyone out there in Sangha, everybody's precious. Everyone who contributes is really doing a great deed.
Exactly. Exactly so. By showing up and offering what each person has to offer, it is a great service. And that is one that the voices will say, oh, well, what do you do? You know, you call into open air and talk about what's going on with you. There's a big service. Yeah, it is. It's huge.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So
it's
thank you
just
for that.
Just another way, yeah. Oh, Mike, thank you so very much again, okay? Be well.
All right. You too. Gosho.
Okay, gosh.
Thanks for joining us, Barbara. That's a winning conversation to start us off, Sherry, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I mean, of course, we're, you know, just ecstatic that Barbara has, you know, it was in time and it has a good result and she's going to be fine, and that's wonderful. And a lot of people would have that same progression, but they're going through it with the voices of self-hate in their head. And so even when they get to the point of, okay, we got it, it's fine, we can repair the damage, the whole experience has been so hideous that they feel brutalized instead of the, you know, optimistic, grateful place that Barbara is in. So,
Exactly. So practicing through good times and bad times and gives us the strength and the foundation to support ourselves.
And one another.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Takes all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and here is another one of us right now, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Christina from Southern California.
Hello, Christina.
Hey, Christina.
Hello. It's so good to be on, and thank you for the book recommendation, Sherry. Tolstoy is one of my favorite authors. So I can't wait to read that one.
Mine too. And until our lovely Anna, who has devoted a lot of years to being a student of his writing, told me about that. I didn't know. And then our yoga teacher Beth told me about it. and still, it took how that goes. But it began to build up that maybe something's trying to give me a message here. So, I'd love to talk with you after you read it, because it's a powerhouse.
Yeah, great. And I wanted to thank you for the email that came out over the weekend. Just clarifying ways that we can contribute more to practice, because it's just so helpful to have that communication. Tiny little things like, oh, so if I have my payment connected to my checking account, that saves you a pretty sizable amount of money every month. And to make that available to us so that we can make those choices is just it just feels really good, so I appreciate that.
Oh, good. Thank you. I always am a little, you know, hesitant with that sort of thing. But I felt good about this because, you know, you go into a store, a little mom-and-pop store, and it's got, no credit cards under $10 or whatever it is. And you kind of think, well, come on. You know, but it's so easy for me to use a credit card. And this is $9.83, and isn't that? And then they gave me the numbers of what it costs to process credit cards, and it's staggering. I mean, we spend thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars every year to process credit card transactions. And you think, well, golly, if that is convenient for me. But, you know, I'd also like these people to be able to make a living. And so it does feel helpful just to be informed. And then we can, you know, when we have the information, we can do whatever we choose. But if we don't have the information, then we're really not able to choose.
Exactly. Exactly. And to be able to proceed knowing that you're just giving the information so we can all decide. I mean, I haven't even had the time to follow through with it yet. Just putting that out there, and I will do it. And so, and it's so good to have that information. And so now I can how I do is I'll put it on my calendar when I'm doing my budgeting.
Right. Christina, the thing about it for me is that since we started this practice, I have been loath to ask people for money. I think we've written, I don't know, maybe 3 letters in the entire history of this organization because something happened and we got into trouble and we needed to ask people to help us get out of it. But generally speaking, we just count on people's generosity. Because right from the beginning, it was, you know, if this is valuable to people, they'll support it. If they don't support it, it will cease to exist, as it should, because nobody should just give us money because we ask for money. It's got to be, you know, it's got to be something that speaks to people's hearts. But not telling people how it works is a step beyond. We don't want to ask people for money. So, you know, we're going to keep the whole thing a secret. And then it just doesn't work.
Yes, and that's the point I wanted to make. Was thank you for
thank you. What else do you want to talk about tonight?
Well, I'll make this part brief, as I can. So last week I got a job offer that really met all these requirements that I've been wanting, that I've been looking for, and it's an incredible opportunity, and I really didn't think it was going to happen, and they met my demands, and it was that kind of place where everything that you have asked for just shows up, and I fell into, I accepted it. Well, actually, before I accepted it, I fell into this place of so much self-hate that I almost couldn't believe it. But yet I was aware of what was happening because of practice. I was very clear, oh my goodness, so when I'm up at 3 in the morning tossing and turning, not because, you know, something's wrong, but because something I've been wanting to happen has happened, I'm almost amazed by this process that has, you know, is fighting its darnest to have complete control over my life and trying to convince me that I've really messed things up now, you know? and I was a little bit taken aback by it.
So Christina, when I say to people, that system really wants you to suffer, you don't have any more doubt about that, do you?
No. It's sobering.
And it is sobering. It's shocking. It's horrifying. I just got a text from somebody today who is in a legal process. And, you know, it's one of those, it's the reason we have legal processes. You know, somebody really does somebody wrong. And then they go to, as you very well know, what they get to go through to get that person to do the right thing, right? And and it went in that direction. That person who had done what they, you know, were not legally supposed to do is going to have to fess up and pay up and that sort of thing. And the person said, I was just smacked by the biggest load of guilt.
Yeah.
that same, yep. that, you know, a slightly different angle to it, but that same, yeah.
Yeah. No, it's exactly the same.
You can't have what you want. You can't have what
yeah.
you want.
Exactly.
It's not okay. You,
yep.
you need to suffer. You need to feel bad.
Yeah. Yep, no, that's exactly so. And it's and you know, it what I got to see in all of that was no, not anymore. This is you know,
you're
the life
up.
I've been given. Yeah, I'm done. You know, and so I'm more committed. I shouldn't say there are many moments in the day where I can say I am done with it. I'm not paying attention to the voices. I'm not going down that road. And then I go down that road. And at the
yes.
same time, I'm so committed to not being in that conversation, to being in conversation
yes.
with life and being out of conversation with the voices. Because
yes.
I just there's too much life to live for me to be wasting
yes.
my time on feeling badly about good things happening in the world and about having an opportunity to make a difference in the world. Like, you know, I'm like,
that's right.
I just don't have time
yeah.
for that anymore.
yeah, exactly. And the reason that people fall for that crapola is because we are so conditioned to believe that you're feeling the way you feel for a reason and that
yeah.
feeling that way is going to make you into the person who won't have to feel that way any longer. Right? So you're
yeah.
you know, you've got flaws, Christina. You've got flaws. And the self-hate is there, right? To
mm-hmm.
to get you to correct those flaws. And that's why you toss and turn at 3 a.m. And that's why, you know, that's why you're anxious and feel bad or guilty or whatever it is. But as soon as you clean up your act, then you're gonna feel great. No, that's
yeah.
not what's going on. And
yeah.
you just got a front row seat. And it is so beautiful, isn't it, when that system overplays its hand?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
it could have shut up. It could have shut up. And
yeah.
you would have gone right along listening to it and believing it. But it overplayed
yeah.
its hand.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, I'm suspicious that it was really linked to the amount of energy released in my body, that's why it just kind of went. And I don't know that to be the case, but, you know, I was just kind of watching that because I couldn't believe the amount of energy coursing through me for probably 48 hours. It was just like, boing, you know. And, and so there it was. And so for whatever reason, you know, I mean, there was self-hate is what I mean, to just be like right there, you know, and go quiet.
For 48 hours,
go out,
it came after you.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, I didn't crawl in a hole like I might have in the past, you know,
mm-hmm.
and it was definitely, you know, it was definitely there. And I was just moving through it, you know, and I got to see how one of the things that I do, and I know there's lots of people on this call that do this too, is I wanted to either one, try to find a way to make sure that would never, like I'd never fail, you know, and get perfect and set myself up to do all kinds of crazy things to get ready. And on the other hand, it was, you know, you just need to not do anything because this is too overwhelming. You just stop. You need to just, you know, like have those two extremes that were playing themselves out.
Both designed
conversation.
To get you back where it used to have you.
Yeah, exactly. And to get me in that conversation instead of like being able to enjoy that amount of energy and the excitement and really the love that was there in that moment, you know, and how happy I was. And, you know, it's just shocking.
It is shocking. And I feel so, this is a popular one now, I feel so vindicated. Yeah, because I know that there are a lot of folks who think that we are really kind of over the top with this stuff, but we're not. It's just that very few people get to a place in their life with their practice where they get to see it that clearly. But as soon as you see it that clearly, Wow. Okay. That's it. We're breaking up. Now, it might take a while to extricate myself from this relationship. Okay. Yeah. I understand that, but I'm out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Thank you for putting it like that.
Mm. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for practice. That's so sweet.
It is. It is. It's lovely. Thank you. Enjoy. Mm-hmm. Go happy,
thank
huh?
Thank you. Go happy.
Bye. Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Christina. Sherry, I loved that conversation, and I wanted to underline the part at the beginning about the email you sent over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that it was just perfect. It was just so perfect practice. It, as Christina said, you laid it all out. Here's the situation. Here's what we're looking at. There's no blame, no grasping for support. It's just, as you said, here's what we're looking at. Here's the situation. We wanted you to know, you know, if this is important to you, consider, you know, what's possible. It was just so beautiful.
And
here are some possibilities.
Here's some possibilities that aren't going to, we hope, break anybody's bank. If so, if those possibilities are going to break somebody's bank, we don't want them to be the ones responding.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just for those of us. It's like me with the little mom and pop store. Okay. I'll buy something else to get me up over the $10, or you know,
yes,
I'll take cash when I go to that store because I don't want those people to pay that kind of price. And that's all we're saying. You know, these are some simple things we could do that we could all do together to make a big difference. So yeah, thank you for that, Michael.
Yeah, sure. And also the piece about what you're doing at your end at the monastery to address the same issue. So how can we all together contribute our piece of it to get where we want to go?
Mm-hmm. To be good stewards of practice. That's what we're all looking at. Yeah.
Yes.
For everybody. It's back to the, you know, everybody's voice counts. Everybody's participation counts.
Yes.
All of it counts. And we want to do this together.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And Sherry, we are going to break to you here from our coaching program, and then we'll be right back.
All right.
How we do anything is how we do everything, which is very good news because seeing through one conditioned process reveals it everywhere. Zen awareness coaching uses tried and true practices like recording and listening, process mapping, and weekly practice commitments to take the mystery out of ego's bamboozles. If you have ever attended a There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat and are tired of getting caught in the same old suffering processes, Zen Awareness Coaching is for you. To request a coach, email zenawarenesscoach@livingcompassion.org. That's Zen Awareness Coach, all one word, @livingcompassion.org. Getting a coach will support you in making the anything and everything of your life exactly what the heart desires.
Welcome back to Open Air. That was a fun message, Sherry.
Yeah, that's the first time I've heard that.
That's very
nice. Yeah.
Yes, very good. And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, it's Anne in New York.
Hello, Anne.
Hi. I'm so happy. let's see. I'm calling in just to put myself in the queue, and I'm really enjoying tonight's show, like every single one of them. And I just wanted to chime in about the email letter about how to participate and contribute with what you can to help out with the monastery and the tweets and all those kind of things. And I felt exactly how Michael was speaking that it was just very, it was laid out and very straightforward, and I had no voices and things in my head like I would have in the past, and practice works, and just very happy.
It's good. All those things go together, huh? So that's yes. That's a big one. What you just
yes.
That last piece that you just said, and I had no voices like I would have had in the past. Practice works.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. And let's see. What am I? I guess I was just sitting there, and I don't know what dropped in, but what dropped in was some days. Like, practice is just, like, I feel like, I don't know if you ever saw The Matrix, but, like, I'm just, like, bring it. I can just, like, dodge every single thing bullet time, and it's energizing. And then there's mm-hmm. days where it's, like, I see it, but it just is sort of, like, oh, but I get through it, you know? And
uh-huh.
and then sometimes I stumble, but I'm still practicing. I guess that's it. I'm
yeah.
aware that
yeah.
I'm still practicing even if I fall.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you, by any chance, do the undulations workshop?
No, not yet. I not.
Okay.
No,
you know
I
that
not.
It exists as a download, right?
I forgot. But and yeah, thank you for reminding.
Yeah, because I think you would enjoy it. It
oh.
really. I mean, I hope it speaks to that exactly what you're describing, and
mm-hmm.
And helping us get to the place that you describe. That okay. It's yeah. Does this feel as good as that other day? No, that's fine. I'm still practicing. This is this is all practice, and I know I'm practicing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess I just do one. I'm feeling protective of. Let's see. What am I feeling? Anyway, so I'm having this energy that I just want to give a shout out, because if it weren't for my therapist, she's the one who introduced me to your book. There's nothing wrong with you. So
there are a lot of good therapists out there.
Yes,
there's no question
exactly.
about it. And a lot of them are in our sangha, right?
Oh.
we have a lot of them in our sangha. And probably the single I don't know how to finish that sentence, but more people come to There's Nothing Wrong With You retreats referred by their therapist than probably any other way. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Well.
Yeah, the depression book, There's Nothing Wrong With You, are two of them that that therapists often send people to practice with.
Okay. Well, I just let's see one other thing. Also, I was thinking what dropped in was like with the meditation, virtual meditation is wonderful, and I really am. I'm looking at that one part where. At the very end, I just say, we all slip into one stream of consciousness of one voice, and it sort of speaks to what someone was saying earlier tonight, that even if I have a calm voice, I'm still participating. Even though I'm not saying much, I'm here and I'm centered, which is huge compared with all the noise out there. So
yes.
Thank you for practice. And I'm looking forward to this year's workshop, as usual, always.
Me too.
I love that book. I love the book. So I'm looking forward to the new one. Mine's filled up.
Good.
My other
and you're a new person.
Up.
Right, you're a new person.
Oh, yes, exactly.
So it's time to go through it again. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. So thank you, Sangha. And
thank you, Anne.
Good show.
Thank you.
Take care.
Good night.
Okay. Take care. Go happy.
Go happy.
Bye.
Go happy. Thank you for joining us, Anne. And Sherry, I assume she's referring to the How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything workbook.
Yes.
And
year-long adventure.
Yes. Year-long adventure starting beginning of March, right, after the
March
email
1st.
Class.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah,
okay,
wrap
1st.
Up the email class and is it March 1st? I'm not sure. I know it's the 1st of
I
March. I'm not sure it's the actual one day of March, but right around there. Yeah. Well, more will be revealed, I'm sure. Those folks are good at letting us know. Yeah.
Okay, good. I'm tempted to talk about it more now, but I'll wait for the appropriate authorities to give me the information. Okay, let's talk to another caller. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. It's Janice from Victoria.
Hello.
Oh, I've been in the queue forever, it feels, because I was so excited after the New Year's retreat, and I've been doing the Socratic email, and I'm reflecting, listening, buddies, and I joined that group coaching for recording and listening.
Oh, and how is that?
It's wonderful. It's just great because it felt that there was a pause between the end of projecting joy and the excitement of the new one that's coming up. So I have to tell you, it's filled in the gap beautifully.
Good, good, yes. Good. I'm glad. Yeah,
yes.
But not so beautifully that you think, oh, well, I don't need another Project Joy.
Are you kidding?
It didn't fill it in that.
No, I was ecstatic when I heard that we would be able to do the same sort of Monday to Friday call-in as well, because it was just immensely supportive to be participating with everybody that way.
Yeah. There's just nothing like it. It is, I know I say this all the time, but I say everything that I say all the time, so we're all used to that. But it is such a miracle to be alive in this time when all of these kinds of things are possible for us. It's just that we can all be together in these ways on a daily basis. It's just almost
Yeah, and the virtual meditations, that you know, there's extra ones now, and that is just awesome.
If we're not practicing, we know who to look to, right?
Right. So the reason I just wanted to tell you, there's a couple of things. So there's been more news that's difficult news for us, and there's a less buffer zone in it, for example, with my husband's health. It's getting narrower. And there's been a lot. It's helpful to have the Socratic email because there's a need for a lot of good, clear communication together and with other people, with medical people, and with family. And so that is hugely helpful. All the people who are doing the class, I'm benefiting from all of their insights.
Mm-hmm. That is true, isn't it? It's like we can sense from the class that people, there are a lot of different contents that people are dealing with. And yet, if we're paying attention in the way that you're indicating, then whatever my issue is, what everybody is saying applies to my issue. I can make use of every single one of their insights to inform where I am in my situation.
Exactly. And rather than the others maybe talking to family or something, but really realizing it, this is my issue, and this is my opportunity to break through this karmic pattern.
Mm-hmm. Boy, you know, we can say something like that, and it just kind of rolls off the tongue, doesn't it? But the years of practice that it takes us to get to that kind of realization. Right?
Yep, just showing up, boy. Well, I do want to tell you.
showing up and experiencing everything in life as our best opportunity.
Oh, yeah.
Not there's something wrong, this is a tragedy, this shouldn't be happening, but okay, all right, what is there to see here? What is there to get here? what am I going to learn in this, and how is this going to open my heart, and how is this going to bring me to a more compassionate place? That's what this is. So I don't quite see it yet, but I know it's here, and I'm going to keep looking because sooner or later I'm going to see it.
Yes. So, I've been dying to tell you this little thing that happened was that my husband passed me a senior center program. This is in the beginning of, like, early January after I got back. And I was super tired, and I actually said out loud that I don't think I'm going to look at it, even though it starts, like, the next week. I don't think I'm going to look at it. I think I've actually been around a lot of old people lately. And it was so funny because I'm really seriously, we're seniors here. And I kind of flopped down on the couch, and then it was like, oh my God, just pick it up and look at it. I spent a half an hour circling everything and all the things that I've kind of missed doing in my life because they weren't local. They all showed up, and I marched down the next morning. I took them with me. We signed up and became members. I signed up for Feldenkrais, which I adore, but it just wasn't in the neighborhood, and a Kundalini yoga class that I modify for myself. And the key thing was they, because I can't bounce around, do folk dancing anymore, my knees and ankles aren't good, they have seniors hula lessons.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. I can't stop grinning ear to ear, you know, because it's a nice gentle sidestep, and you're putting your hands, you're expressing, you're speaking with your hands, and they're all quite sweet, happy songs, and I just have a ball.
And what a perfect example, excuse me just a moment, of egocentric karmic conditioning attempting to come in and stop you from something that was going to bring so much joy into your life.
Yes. Yes. And the topper was that when I'm doing my Feldenkrais, across the hall is a ukulele group playing. And I knew my husband, even though he plays guitar for years, I knew he always said, those ukulele people have so much fun. So I kind of dragged them along there, and I said, come on, let's talk to one of them and see, what do you have to do to find out about this? He joined Beginner's Ukulele, and like right now while I'm on the call, down the hall, I can hear him playing and having a blast.
Strumming away.
Yeah.
Kind of makes you want to break into a hula, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, we had our first performance the other day as a duo.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. You dance and he accompanies. Yeah, yeah. I can see it. Yeah, that's great.
Life just goes on, right? And all those opportunities to just every day try something new.
Well, yeah. our sister Phil, excuse me, said the other day at Center, hang on just one sec. She said, you know, yes is another name for God.
Oh, yes.
That's
I love that.
That's kind of what you're describing.
I love that.
Isn't that good?
Yeah, thanks. Mm-hmm. Thanks for saying that. Thanks, Phil. Thanks, Sherry.
Yeah, thanks,
and
Phil.
Thanks,
thank you, Janet.
Thanks, Michael. Thanks,
take
John.
Care.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Janice. And Sherry, we have time for at least one more caller here.
Okay.
Okay. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Emily from Seattle.
Hello, Emily.
Hi. Oh, I'm surprised to get on. I was starting to sit back and relax.
Just when you think you can relax, he hits that button.
Well, I'm really excited about the continuing Project Joy. Oh, thank you so much for continuing that in its new form. I really appreciated the donation request going out too, because I had been thinking, I can give a little more for my monthly, and then I just needed that little nudge. I felt like that was very helpful.
Oh, good. Good. Well, and as Christina said, you know, it's not that we need to just race out and make big changes, but it's to bring it into the awareness, and then when it works for you, it'll happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I've been having this. Been thinking about this argument going on in my head. And it's about it. No, it seems really silly in a way, and it's about because I see exactly what it is. This argument going on in my head, and it's about it. I've been exploring letting the idea that you talk about it, letting life lead, like not trying to. Make a decision, figure things out, worry about it, but just being in the moment and following life. Because I've been trying to make big life decisions, but also just decisions about kind of organizing my day. And so I feel like I'm at the point where I'm really ready to do that. I'm ready to try that. I've got like all this evidence that I've, you know, made recordings. Like this is how I want to live. This is how I want to do it. And then, but I just feel this argument, this ego hanging on, and there's something about it. I'm still giving my attention to it. It's still getting my attention.
And what does the other side say? I can sense the side that says let life, because life is going to anyway. whatever we think we're doing. But what's the other side say? What's the ego side say about that?
The ego side is saying, things like, it hasn't worked yet. You've tried it. You've tried it, and it doesn't work.
What does doesn't work mean?
Well, look at your life now. You're still searching. You're still trying to find your work, your life's purpose. After all these years, you know, you've tried following your heart, and you're still in that place. Like that's
well. Now we slipped over here. Following your heart and letting life lead are not necessarily exactly the same.
Oh, they aren't.
Well, the reason that I say that, I mean, they could be. Okay, they absolutely could be. If following your heart is letting life lead.
Yeah.
But if following my heart has a different definition, for instance, I want to be a painter. And so I follow my heart to be a painter. But then perhaps the way I'm going about doing that is not actually following my heart, but I've slipped over a little into following ego. Because letting life lead, I might be anywhere in my life doing anything. And if that's what my heart wants, to be at one with the divine, say, then it won't really matter if it turns. If I paint, I paint. If I don't, I don't. I would enjoy it, But if that, you know, I could wind up being a, I don't know, a what, a, who knows. And saying yes to life and doing what life calls me to do, if that's what lights up my heart, then I'm going to be a very happy person.
Mm-hmm.
Or it, I could be a completely miserable human being, being a painter in the grip of egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate. Then the story is, what you're doing, you're following your heart, and you're miserable. Look at you.
Right. Yeah, I see what you're saying. But maybe then ego says, I mean, I want the, I've gotten to insights where, okay, it doesn't matter what I do. It matters the feeling and how I do it. But then ego will say, well, you've gotten to moments of that where you let life lead. But then it doesn't stick. Well, it doesn't stick long
well,
enough to actually go and
but
do
Emily,
something.
So it is speaking with forked tongue, right? So on the one side, mm-hmm. you shouldn't do it because you've tried it and it didn't work. And on the other side, what is the other side exactly? It's sort of doesn't have an argument that hangs together here. So the only thing it's doing is arguing, right? So you should, it doesn't work, why bother? Right? But the only thing that it's got yeah. going for it is don't do it. You've done it, it hasn't worked, you haven't really done it, you can't see you've done it but you can't stick with it. So the only thing it's doing is trying to keep the attention on itself.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it says, and it can't, that's too much to expect that you would do that enough.
You know what, here's what I would encourage you to consider, that the thought, you can do both right there in one fell swoop. You can follow your heart and let life lead by getting out of that conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I sense
that's,
that.
That's all that's required.
The thing to do.
Yeah. That'll solve all the issues right there.
Okay.
Yeah? Because,
okay.
Yeah, because you don't have a problem except that voice keeps coming in with, well, but, blah, 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 blah. Well, yeah, but. And so it's like, okay, that's the first step in following my heart. I'm gonna listen to my heart instead of those voices. Now, of course, that's good practice because we have to listen very, very carefully to hear the heart. Because it doesn't
yeah.
yell and demand and make arguments and cases and that sort of thing. Yeah?
Yeah. Okay.
I think we're onto something here, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I think I knew that. But I don't know
the place. Well, it catches us and gets us engaged, and then once we're engaged, you know, we think that we're in a valid discussion, and so the place to look here, of course, is the space between the thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. That's what you're looking for, because that's yeah. where. That's the little tiny gaps where the insights slide in. That's where the light comes through. That's where the heart is happy. So those mm-hmm. are the spaces. And, you know, those voices that want you to be engaged with them, they're really gonna start talking faster and louder.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Well.
We have a plan. Let me know, okay?
Sounds
Let
fine.
Me know.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Well. Thanks, Emily.
Okay.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Emily. And Sherry, you and Emily were perfectly coordinated with our show schedule.
Oh, my gosh.
I want to thank you for that.
How very like us. How very like
yes.
us.
Yes, and a fascinating conversation on top of that even.
See there? That's
How good is that?
All we strive for. That's all we ask. Thank you, Michael.
Yes. Thank you, Sherry. I'm very grateful. Great show.
Yes. Grateful here, too. And I'll talk to you pretty darn soon.
Okay, great.
Good night.
Thank you, Sherry. Good night.